Okay, today's daf in Masechet Kittin brought to you from Yerushalayim and HaKodesh is daf Ayin Dalet, and we're holding about one fifth up of the way from the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we left off a little early on Erev Shabbos because we have a fascinating sugya. So I wanted to leave you enough time for us to deal with it properly. So the Mishnah basically spoke about a case, and we're assuming that the case that we're about to be talking about is a continuation of that initial case. So we had a case where somebody says, I'm giving this gift, mihayon, and he had a number of different lashons, as long as it wasn't mihayon ula akramita, mihayon imati, right, in lo amadati micholise, all of those cases. So we said over there that, that in the end, If he'll die, so fine. So this is it tonight. But now the question is, what is the status of that marriage from the time that he gives the get until such time as either he does die from this illness or doesn't die from this illness? I mean, it's very nogea, many, many issues. First of all, I mean, obviously it's nogea in cases of adultery. So the shaila is, would he be someone who sleeps with her, is she an eshes ish or not? So here we find a machlokas. Mahi beotana yamim. We're assuming that it means from that case that we were talking about. Mi hayom imat. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar ke eshet ish l'chol dvarash. She's absolutely an eshes ish. And therefore, if somebody sleeps with her, not realizing that she's an eshes ish, so he would be chayav a chatos, a regular chatos. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, migureshet veina migureshet. So we'll say precisely what that lashon means in terms of is exactly the same as Suffolk Megureshet. She is Megureshet, she's not Megureshet. Fine. That is open a little bit for us to see in a moment. But in any event, it certainly means that according to Rabbi Yossi, there's at least some getter of Suffolk over here, and we don't look at her as being an Eshet Ish, right? Not Avada Eshet Ish. Anyway, so now the problem is like this. I mean, it says in a Braita, so then, I mean, obviously, if he never died, so then it turns out that this was never a get. So then if somebody slept with her, for sure, he would be chayav chatas, because at that point, he had slept, not realizing he thought she had a get, but she didn't really have a get. So at that point, he would be chayav chatas, because he had slept with an eshes ish b'shogeg. Now, the question is, and this is very weird, because, I mean, the case that we had in the Mishnah is a case where he said the get should be called from today, imat. So when I die, it should be called from today, right? So it's a straightforward condition. The condition ought to make the situation retroactive, because that's how we understand it. But you're saying it's not retroactive. You're saying that in the event that the guy dies, that then, nonetheless, we have this machlokas, which Rabbi Yehuda says, Eishes ish l'chol dvoreha v'hu she'amut. And despite the fact that the guy died, so now we're saying that at the time that the get was given, mi'ayom, that it was never retroactive. I understand. So when was it? Are we now saying that the get was chal after he died? And you can't have a get that is chal after he died. And according to Rabbi Yossi, what do you mean she's Megureshet ve'ena Megureshet? What is that supposed to mean? If the guy dies, so then we now know that she was Megureshet. If the guy didn't die, so now the guy that she wasn't Megureshet. What does this mean? That we are not talking about the get being called from before? There's no Me'achshav? There's no Me'ayom? So then, when is the get called? Then the get wouldn't be called at all, according to either of them. Because you can't have a get, le'akar mita. Says the Gemara, on my Rabba, this, now I'm telling you how Rashi learns. Rashi learns like this, that the case in this last piece of the Mishnah is not referring back to the original case. The original case, indeed, was where he said, from today, or from now. But this case was that the guy said, from the moment before I die. That's when it is that the get is chal. And therefore, from the moment before I die, there we come up with a machlokas in which we could say, does she have a din of an eshes ish during the entire period? Now, here is the wonderful issue that I don't want to get into on Erev Shabbos, but this is the way that Rashi learns the Gemara. As I've explained to you many times before, Rashi has an amazing shita, Lagabe the Din of Brera. Gavi has to pay attention. All right, oh boy. The sponges stick again. Rebbe, Vostutman. He doesn't even have his earplugs in his ears. There's no way to communicate with him. Okay, he's going to miss it. You know, you'll have to bring him up today. Terrible. All right, so here's Rashi's approach. Rashi's approach is, first let me tell you what he says, and how it could be that she is Megureshet Ve'ina Megureshet, or she's an Eishes Ish L'chol Dvoreha. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, she's an Eishes Ish L'chol Dvoreha, because basically, since the get was only going to be chal an instant before he dies, so if the guy slept with her any time during the past, whatever, 30 days, however long he was ill with this illness, and we weren't sure, well, I mean, obviously he had not died, so if he hadn't died, then why isn't she an Eishes Ish L'chol Dvoreha, right? I mean, we know now that he didn't die. So he dies in 30 days from now. The get was chal 1 minute before that. This guy slept with this person's wife 2 weeks before he died. So then during that time, suddenly you're back. So during that time, she's an Eishes Ish L'chol Dvoreha, right? You're missing out on a very important approach of Rashi in the sugya. So according to the way that Rabbi Yossi is understanding it, she's Megureshet Ve'ina Megureshet, despite the fact that he sleeps with this woman 2 weeks before the husband died. But we know that if the get was only meant to be chal an instant before he died, the way that we're now explaining the case, then why in the world do we have a suffix about whether she was an Eishes Ish? We know she wasn't an Eishes Ish. And here is Rashi's incredible approach that he's mentioned numerous times in various subtle ways to the concept of Brera. Brera, according to Rashi, if you don't hold of Brera, if you hold of Brera, so then it means that we can retroactively define what was meant to happen by the fact that it happened. Now, if not to be confused with a Tanai, a condition has nothing to do with Brera. The guy is saying, when I die, at that point, the get would be chal a minute before. That's the same thing as saying, when I give you $200, the get will be chal. It makes no difference. When I jump in the air and spit the wooden nickels, the get will be chal. But it's exactly the same as any other. It's not. There's nothing magical about the retroactive element of it. Every condition starts at the time, and then the condition is what makes it be chal. Here we have another question. The question is determinism. If the guy ended up not dying, so Rabbi Yehuda said, so I understand what the issue is. If he didn't die, so then we know that at that moment she was an Eishes Ish. So she's an Eishes Ish L'chol Dvoreha. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, we never know she was an Eishes Ish, because what ends up happening is not what was meant to happen. That's what Ein Brera means. Ein Brera means that there is no way to figure out a relationship between randomness and causality. Therefore, it's not that there's no causality, but the point is, at any moment in the past 30 days, could he have died in the next minute? Yes. Can you know before whether he will die? No. Therefore, you cannot tell me, oh, but he didn't die. And since he didn't die, obviously he wasn't meant to die. And therefore, there was no problem of her being Megureshet. Not true. At the moment that this guy slept with her, the husband was due to die in the next second, in one possible quantum universe, right? Fine. Now, it happens to be that you didn't enter that quantum universe. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't due to die. It just means that now the particular Feynman diagram that you've chosen is a different one. That's all. So in the universe in which you happen to live, so to speak, the man ended up dying later. So what does that have to do with the universe you lived in at that instant? maybe he was due to die that instant. But he didn't. So what? There is no connection between the causality that's in place at any one moment is only going to be chosen non-causally. That's the brilliant point of Rashi. So that Ein Brera doesn't mean that nothing is meant to happen. It means that whatever does happen is unrelated to what was meant to happen. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, he is always in a possible universe in which he's meant to die. So therefore, it's a suffocation siege the whole time. You can't turn around and say, but he didn't die. Why should I? I don't understand. If he didn't die, what's there a suffix? Where's the carbon that's being brought on the suffocation siege? Not true. Unbelievable. Now, nobody else understands Rashi's approach to this again because it was too advanced. So therefore, Tosfos Tainis, well, this doesn't make any sense. Because if he really wasn't meant to die, then the get should never be a get. Because what are you going to say? He wasn't really Mikayim the Tanai because he wasn't meant to die. And therefore, how could get Bichal an instant before he dies? He wasn't meant to die an instant before he dies. So he doesn't see any possibility of there being a breakdown. Either it's random or it's causal. You can't have this strange interrelationship between non-causality and then having causal issues in place. That's amazing. So therefore, Tosfos has to completely change the pshat. And he says, this has nothing to do with Brera at all. It's a very simple question, which I'll explain to you in a moment when we see the rest of the Gemara, as to how he and the Rivam and other Rishonim read the Gemara in a very simplistic way, without all of this fancy understanding of Rashi. Okay, so let's take a look with the next piece, because that will make it a bit clearer. Tana Rabban, let's take a look at the issues that have to do with being married. I mean, there's a lot of different things, like if or she gets a salary, does the husband get a salary? Can he be made for an adorim? If she dies, is he yoresher? If he's a Kohen, does he go to her funeral? And so on and so forth. So these are all issues that have to do with the question, was she migureshet, right? Okay, so let's take a look at that. Tana Rabban. Yomim shebeinatai. The days in between the giving of the get and the actual death, which is the kiyum of the Tanai, that puts the get into effect, the Baal is considered to be her husband completely. She finds something, she makes a salary, she makes a neder, he can be made for the nedarim. If she dies, he is yorsha, like any husband. If he's a kohen, he's metamila. Look, the bottom line is, klolo shel davar, there's only one thing. She doesn't need another get. That's all. Because in the end, if he does die, so then at that point, an instant before, he actually had given her a get. Because of that, there's no need for a get. And therefore, there's no issues of Yibum. If he dies without children, he has a brother and so on. She doesn't need another get. Okay. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, actually, Be'ilata tluya. So let's say somebody sleeps with her during that time. It's a very simple question. If the guy does die ultimately from this illness, then we find out that she wasn't an Eishes Ish, and therefore there's no chatas that's brought on sleeping with her. If the guy does not die, then we find out that she was an Eishes Ish. So, Ari, are you paying attention or not over there? What's going on? Buffalo, what is this? What, you think the camera doesn't pick you up? We know what's going on over there. So now, if it's a simple black and white issue, either the guy does die or the guy doesn't die. So according to Rabbi Meir, obviously, the issue of his saying, before I die, it doesn't mean, according to Rabbi Meir, that it's literally before I die, because the lashon was, me'et shani ba'olam. So what Rabbi Meir understands of mi'et shani ba'olam means now. In other words, I need this to be given in my lifetime, is what the guy is saying. Not I need this to be given an instant before I die. So according to Rabbi Meir, a straight out simple question. From the Zman of Netina, then if he turns out to have died from this illness, she's not an Eshes Ish. He recovers from the illness, so then she is an Eshes Ish. So we just wait and see. That's what Be'ilata Tluya means. The question of her status of a married woman will be defined, but there's certainly nothing that's in doubt at the end. Rabbi Yossi says, oh no, Be'ilata is a safek, because remember, he, according to Rabbi Yossi, he understands Me'echa Niba Olam to mean a minute before. So we have no idea at the time that he slept with her. Is this the hour that was a minute before his death? Don't tell me. Of course not. He didn't die. I don't know the prayer. It doesn't prove anything. The fact that he didn't die doesn't mean that this wasn't a minute before his death. So therefore, you always have to bring an Asham Tolu. Okay, we want the lion cub to tell the big N that he missed out on something very important over here, and he better either tune in quickly or listen to the recording. Outrageous. I know what he's going to say. He's going to say that he's busy saying Kiddush Levana. Don't accept it from him. Okay. So anyway, this would be the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yossi says, Bilata Safek, as we explained, no prayer. Kachomi Maimrim, and the Kachomi seem to be saying exactly the same thing. Megureshet Veina Megureshet. Now, everybody agrees, obviously, that this is only an issue if the guy does die in the end. If the guy doesn't die, so then there's nothing to discuss. But wait a minute. Rabbi Meir said, Bilata Tluya, and Rabbi Yossi says, Bilata Safek. So does that make any practical difference? Of course it does. Makes a tremendous practical difference. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is when you bring an Asham Tolui. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a straight out either or situation. It's just a binary question. In the quantum world, there ain't no binary questions. There are only qubit questions. And therefore, it's always going to be an Asham Tolui. Much ain't going to go to Rabbi Meir. In the non-quantum world, everything is binary, yes or no, okay? So this is the difference between what kind of computer you're using. So according to Rabbi Meir, well, what's the question? Either she was married or she wasn't married. She can't be both alive and dead at the same time, can she? What about, okay, this is classic. Rashi's approach is mamish classic. She can be both an Eshes and not an Eshes simultaneously, so Mamela, you'll have to bring an Asham Tolu. Okay, it's Rabbi Yossi. So according to Rabbi Meir, obviously you'll never bring an Asham Tolu. Either she was married, in which case he will bring a Chatas, Vadai, or she wasn't married, in which case you don't bring any kind of car. Okay, that's clear. Now, the Chachonim say Megureshet Ve'ena Megureshet. What is the difference between saying that she is a Suffolk and saying she is Megureshet, but she's not Megureshet? That's exactly the same thing. Chachonim Ainu Rabbi Yossi, isn't it? It is, technically speaking, but there is a major difference. And that is Rabbi Zera. Ike b'nei de Rabbi Zera. The Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Omer Shmuel. Wherever we use the Losha, a Megureshet or Eina Megureshet, it has a very important implication. So what is that? That the husband, if we use that Losha, the husband is Mechuyev to continue to support her. Because we have something that we are going to be able to define later. And therefore, Rabbi Zera says that we never let you off until we know for a fact that the issue is that she is divorced. But when it comes to the question of whether you bring a carbon or what type of carbon you bring, you're right. This is Rabbi Yossi. It's just a different implications for Gabi Rabbi Zera. So there's really only these two major differences between Rabbi Meir's approach and between Rabbi Yossi's approach. Anyway, this is the beautiful way that Rashi understands the circuit. Now, as I mentioned to you before, Tosfos says this is off the wall. I mean, how can the cat be both alive and dead? Doesn't make any sense. If you're going to tell me that we don't know the brayer, then the get shouldn't be chal at all. So therefore, according to Tosfos, this has nothing to do with brayer, and all that the question was over here is that Rabbi Yossi, who says Megureshet, Veina Megureshet, is because he's not sure whether when you say those words, Kishaniba Olam, whether that means Bisha'at Netina, which is what Rebbe Meir was saying. It's just another way of saying while I'm alive, meaning now that I'm giving you the get. Or whether it may mean actually it's Chal Sha'achas Kedem Lemisa, which is Rebbe Yehuda. Now, if it means Chal Sha'achas Kedem Lemisa, and this guy ended up sleeping with her 2 weeks before her husband died, so then obviously it's not going to be Nogea because we know that he didn't die. But nobody has this issue of not holding of Breyer. This is the way Tosfos understands it. And there's another minor difference, by the way, in understanding the sugya. In Buffalo, you're not paying attention. There's another minor difference between the two approaches, and that is that Tosfos does not like the way that Rashi says that, well, it's not referring back to the original case in the Mishnah. How would we say Magi Bo'otama Yamim and be referring to an unstated case? There's a continuation of the Mishnah. Therefore, Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense. The way correct way to understand the sugya is not that we change the nusach or the girsa or the case. It means, Tainiz Rabbeinu Tam, and he says he found the same thing Rabbeinu Hananel, that it's ke'aymer, not be'aymer. Ke'aymer means that when somebody says that, he doesn't mean from now, even though he said mehayom, because he really wants to push things off as much as possible. He means from the time where it's possible for it to be chal. Okay, that's a relatively minor kind of issue. All right, now we can continue with Doc's arrival. Before he gives us his very special rendition of the Mishnah, he also wants to mention something about a very special Malava Malka, but you all have to wait until the end of the daf. Go ahead, Doc, give it to us, baby.
Rebbe can drink now.
Thank you. Doc, running away won't help. It's too late. Get back on the screen.
Fangt on the Heilige Mishnah.
Well, I guess, Bidi Avad, we can be makabel that. So somebody says to a woman, gives her a get, and he says, here, this is your get, but on condition that you pay me off an unfortunate contemporary situation. Yeah, I'll give you a get, but you got to pay me. So this is what the guy's doing to her. Make her suffer. Let her pay. So, okay. But she has to pay because it's a condition. How about if he says, on condition that you pay me within the next 30 days. So, then the condition is binding within the next 30 days. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel now comes up with something that is a complete non sequitur. So he says, Ma'aseh betzaydan be'achat shamar li'ishtar esek etech amanat shetitni li itztiliti. This is your get, but you got to give me back my coat. It's ridiculous. I need my coat. Anyway, of course, meanwhile, she loses his coat. So now, so she lost his coat. So it seems to be that there's no way for her to get her get of the itztilita. So the Chachomim said, you can pay for the value of the coat. He doesn't need Dafka the coat. Now, this has nothing to do with the opening case in the Mishnah. At least it doesn't seem to have anything to do with it. So this, of course, we're going to examine in the Gemara. Now, the first question is when you say, this is your get, if you give me 200 zuz, it's a good get, but you have to give it. What does that, what do you mean? Vititin, let her give it. So Rav Huna says it means exactly what it says. If she gives it, ititin, when she gives it. So at that point, from this moment, it becomes a kosher get. Rav Huna says, no, lekesh ititin, when she gives it. At that point, it will be a good get, but it's not a good get from now. So my binayo the nafkamina la lok is immense. Ikebinayo she need karaha get or shavad. Let's say the get has been burnt up. It's ruined. It's gone. She doesn't have it. If you don't have the get at the time that the get is supposed to be chal, it's not going to do you much good to be mekayim the tonight. Because according to the way that Rav Yehuda is explaining it, the get only takes place when she gives the money. Then it's not a t'nai like a normal t'nai that would be retroactive. And therefore, there's a major difference. So Rav Huna, then even though she doesn't currently have the get, ain't it tzuchem and a get sheni? There's no need to write another get. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who says when she gives it, likashititain, so then if the get doesn't exist, she's going to have to get another get. And therefore, tzuchem and a get sheni. Now we have exactly the same discussion when it comes to the opposite case, where somebody is marrying a woman on condition. So the same case over there would go to Tanakh. But Omer Isha, Harev Mekudeshetli, I am, look, I don't have much money right now, so I'm going to give you this Cracker Jack box ring, you know, but it's worth a penny, so that should be good enough for the, now I know you don't want to get married with a Cracker Jack box, but I'm going to give you $1 million in a while. So when I give you the $1 million, how about that? How about then the condition would be chal, right? So you do that, and harei mikudesha v'yitein. Now we have the same exact language over there. The condition is chal, but he should give it then. And we asked over there the same question, and we had the same response. What do you mean when you say v'yitein? So Rav Huna says, for who yitein? Meaning that you simply must be mekayim your tonight. But just like over here, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, when he gives the $1 million or the $200 mentioned over here, when he gives it, nafkamina would be, my binayu. Now over here, we can't say the same nafkamina that we said before, because when it comes to Kedushin, you don't need for the money of the Kedushin to be extant at the time that the Kedushin is chal. So we don't have that option. So what is the explanation of the difference here? The difference is like this. Suppose she accepts Kedushin from someone else in between, and then he gives her the $1 million. Well, now it's too late if you say likishititain, because when he gives her, she's already married to somebody else, so it's not going to do him any good to give her the $1 million. Now, Shane Kane, if you say that it's simply a condition, and then retroactively, when he gives her the money, she now has accepted the Cracker Jack, and at that point, she was Mekudeshet. So then, wow, that's a very big difference, isn't it? So she sticks out her hand and accepts Kedushin from another guy. So Rav Huna, who says, for who ye tain, so according to Rav Huna, it's just a plain old condition. The moment that he's Mekayim, that's Naiva Azil, that's it. So now she's retroactively married to him. Doesn't help her to be Makaba Kedusha for someone else. She's married to the first guy. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Likishititain, so only Likiyoiv, Lahuda Avi Kedusha, Hashtalo Avi Kedusha. So then it's too late. She accepts the Kedusha for somebody else. So why do I need the same machlokas in two different areas? One in the direction of Gerushin and one in the direction of Kedusha. I mean, it's the same principle, right? What is meant by saying that? Do you mean it as a condition or do you mean it as a timing? I mean, why would there be a difference? Oh, there's a big difference. Very big difference. Because look, I need both cases. The Yash would have got the Kedushin. Let's say we would have had our case only in the Kedushin story, not in the Get story. And we would have had this Machlok. So I would have said, you know why Rav Huna says that the moment that you give her the money, so then she was Mekudeshet from the first. That's because everything that he wants is for her to be married to him. So he's trying to make things be chal as early as possible. I want you to be my wife. I don't want to be a crackerjack wife. You're not going to be a crackerjack wife. You're going to be a millionaire's wife. I understand that, you know, you're reluctant because you think I'm an idiot giving you a crackerjack ring. But you're going to see. So take the ring now, and when you see it, at that point, you'll be happy. Okay, that's the psychology of it. I mean, that's the whole reason he's doing this. Otherwise, he would wait until he's got the $1 million to buy her the world's most beautiful diamond and come and give her a diamond. But the point is, he's trying to make this call now. That's why Rav Huna says it's obviously just a condition, right? So we have that to take into consideration, as we'll see. And when it comes to, however, I'm talking out now before we get to the details of the Gemara, the issues we need to take into consideration. What does he want? When it comes to Gerushin, he very likely doesn't want that the get should be chal as quickly as possible. He wants to give as much time as possible for making up, you know? So we're still in therapy, you know? So only when this, maybe that's what it means. It's different. And we also have another issue. When it comes to Kedushin, this woman is thinking to herself, I should take a crackerjack trip because this crackerjack thinks that I'm going to believe him, that he's going to give me $1 million. Well, what am I going to do when he doesn't give me $1 million? Am I going to take him to court? Am I going to take him to court? Masha Inkain, when he's giving a get, so then when he's giving a get, he figures, well, you know, I mean, if I don't get the money, I'll take her to court. I don't care. I want her to suffer the more the better, you know? So we have to take into consideration whether he was ready to do it now and then collect it later also. So we've got these various elements that need to be taken into consideration. So therefore, depending on what case we would have said, we could easily have made a mistake in either of the shitas, in either of the direction, because we have implications of factors that would change the situation, both the Gabi Kedushin and the Gabi Gerushin. So therefore, let's go through the cases with Sriva. The Ashmina Gabi Kedushin, if we would have known only by Kedushin, maybe the reason that Ravuna said that it's okay as long as Hu Yitain was because all he wants to do is make her his wife. Hashem came by Gerish. He's trying to push things off. So maybe he would be made to review it. That he's saying, okay, when you give it to me, then it'll be a get. But I don't want the get to be here today. Or vice versa. Let's say we would have had the case by Gerishin. I would have said, okay, you know why by Gerishin, Ravuna understood it as being nothing but a condition, and that the moment that she pays, that's because Lokasif Lumitma'a. He's not embarrassed to take her to court. So he's perfectly happy to have the get bichal now. You don't pay me? I'll see you in court, lady. Avagabi Kedushin, why would she accept from this crackerjack a crackerjack ring if she's not going to be able to sue him? She's going to take it to court. So over there, she's embarrassed because he's from a mitzvah. So maybe Ravuna would be made to review it. Huh? Now, look, I mean, the guy knows when he makes a condition like that, she's not stupid and she's going to wait to see the $1 million. The Ashmini and Gabi Kiddush. On the other hand, if I would have been told the case of Kiddush, I would have said, maybe by Kiddush and review it as says only when he does pay up. Yes, because she will never take him to court. And that's there and only there that Rav Yehuda said that it wouldn't be found now because she's not stupid. Avagabi Gerushin, over there, he's not embarrassed to take her to court. Maybe he would be murdered, Ravuna. I'll give you the get today, as long as you pay me. Somebody whispers in his ears, and what if she doesn't pay? Oh, I'll see her in court. What do I care? The Ashwin Agabi Gerushin, I would have said, maybe Rav Yehuda says over there only when she actually gives the money. That's because he's not anxious to give her a get today. He's trying to put it off. He wants her to be married as soon as possible. Then maybe he would be married to Ravuna, that he wants the marriage to be today, and the tonight is merely a condition. And whatever it'll be, it'll be. That's why we need both cases. Now, can we bring a raya? We can indeed. So now look at this. Here it says in the Braita, this is your get, but you have to give me 200 zuz. Afal pi shenikra haget or shenevad migoresh. It's beferish over here, even though the get was ripped up and or was lost, she would be migoreshet. However, la'acher lotin haseh achetiteh. She shouldn't get married to somebody else until she actually does pay up that money. The ode, Tanya, harezi giteh hamanat shetitni li matayim zuz. And he dies. Look at this. If she pays up that money, so then she doesn't have to worry about Yibun. If she didn't pay up that money, she does have to worry about Yibun. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, well, who cares if he's dead? Why can't she pay it to his heir? I don't know, to his father, his brothers, or whatever. I mean, obviously he doesn't have any kids, because otherwise we wouldn't be talking about Yibun. But what's the problem? Whatever relative it is. Now, so what's the machlokas over here? The machlokas is only whether when the person says, you give me $200, does it mean me and not my heirs? Or does he mean as long as you get the money to my estate? So that would mean that even if she pays the money after he's dead, it would still be a perfectly good get, because the get isn't being chal now. The get is being chal 3 months ago when he gave her the get. It's just that he said it's not going to go into effect until you are mekayim the condition. The condition has nothing to do with his lifetime. And therefore, the only question is this included in the condition? Me or my heirs, or only me? That's the only question. So, ad kan, you see, the only machlokas is lo pligi, ela demar savar. The meaning of li is me and not my heirs. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, mar savar li afilu li yorshai. But everybody agrees theoretically, it is nothing but a tnai. It's nothing but a condition. That's clear. So nobody holds of Rav Yehuda. This is a powerful tiyufta of Rav Yehuda. Says Rav Yehuda, indeed it is, except that you're not taking into consideration that this is not going according to the same shita that I'm talking about, for heaven's sakes. This is going according to Rebbe. And Rebbe is a whole different question. Why? Because according to Rebbe, the language, there's two ways to make it's not. You can make a t'nai by saying if or if not, and you can make a t'nai by saying on condition that, right? Now, those are both, they sound like the same type of conditional statement, but they are profoundly different according to Rebbe, because the language of on condition is clearly meant to imply from now on condition that. So whenever the condition is fulfilled, the event is completed now. The chalot is now. Masha enkein, if you say if, now wait a minute. If could mean if and when, obviously, right? And therefore, the case that we had over here, which you didn't bother mentioning, it says, beferish, look back. We didn't change the page for you. It says almanat. Okay, so almanat, according to Rebbe, the halacha is that inachinam, it's as if you stipulated from today. So what's the question? If it's from today, then we have nothing to argue about. But I wasn't talking about a case like Rebbe. The Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe. They don't say that on condition necessarily means from today. So therefore, I was going according to Rabbanan. I'm saying according to Rabbanan, who don't believe that on condition is by definition different than if. It's just a different way of saying if. So therefore, I say that we still have to worry about if and when. And I understand it as if and when. The Amar Rabbi Zera, what's interesting is that Rabbi Zera says, you know, when I was in Bavel, the way that we understood this is that when Rav Huna quoted Rebbe as saying, Kol Ha'om Ha'manatka Omer Me'akshav Dami, Pligei Rabbanan Aleh. So I used to think this also. I used to think it's a machlokas whether Almanat is considered to be Me'aksha. But when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was corrected in that. I found Rabbi Asi, and he was sitting there teaching, and he was quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody agrees that Almanat is Me'aksha, for sure. The only machlokas that we had is the machlokas we had in our mission, where a guy said, Me'hayom ule akramita, right? So what did we say in our Mishnah? If he says, from today and after my death, make up your mind, man. Do you mean from today? Do you mean after your death? I mean, you can't give a get after your death. Or did you mean from today if I die? So why'd you say and after? It's very unclear. Okay, so there were what sounds like it might be a change of heart in the middle of giving this get from today. No, when I die. Okay, so there we have the machloket. But if you really said amanat, so that for sure is Kimiyakshav Dami. So I'll prove it to you. There's a brayta that says this basically. V'atanya. Me'ayom v'la'achar mita get ve'eno get divrei chachamim. Rebbe Omer, kazeh get. This is what we had before. No, this is perfectly good get, even if it's me'ayom v'la'achar mita. So you see from there, if they need to argue, I mean, consider this for a moment. If they need to argue, even in a case in which the intent is so unclear that the guy mentions both now and what could be a condition, and even there we have a machlokas. So, I mean, kol shekein, if the guy said on condition that, right? I mean, that's even more clear that the meaning would be that kazeh would be get. So I understand. Wait a second. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the machlokas is about almanah, he disagrees with what Rabbi was saying over here, right? Rabbi Zera says, I learned that that's not true. Well, Rabbi Yehuda obviously didn't hold that because he said that the machlokas is whether almanah necessarily means kimiatra. So now, can you explain to me why we had a crazy case like miayom la'acharnita that they should argue? I mean, let them argue about an obvious case, no? Liflagei ba'almanah. Let them argue about the case of almanah, and then I would say, well, my gosh, you know, this is unbelievable. If the rabbanon are even going to disagree about the guy saying on condition, well, for sure, if he says crazy things like from today and after I die, I mean, that's much less clear than on condition. So why would they argue about this? So therefore, since the Braisa only talks about this case of Me'ayom Al-Akhamisa, so apparently Rabbi Yochanan is right, and the Rabbanan agree that if you would have said Almanat, it definitely would have meant Kimiyaksha. Not necessarily. Absolutely not. Look, the Braisa may have chosen to tell you, do you want to know how unbelievable that Rebbe is going to be so much Mekel? I understand Almanat. That makes sense. The guy says on condition. He means from today. But would you think that Rebbe would even go so far as to say, if the guy sounds so confused, he says from today till after I die, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe over there, Rebbe wouldn't say, no, he means from today. So I want to show you how far Rebbe is willing to go with his shita. Definitely, even if he didn't say, of course, if he said Almanat, every idiot knows that. But over here, even though he never said Almanat, it still means this. So I wanted to tell you that. What do you mean you wanted to tell me that? You could have taken the other case and you could have told me the opposite. Tell me the case of Almanat and say, the Rabbanan are so convinced that it's not clear what it means that even with Almanat, they say it doesn't mean on condition. Why don't you want to tell me that? I don't want to tell you that. Because that's for frummies. Remember, we always try to find a shita that is lakula. Anybody can be machmir. What's the big deal? That's a kayach. That's a labiach a kayach, the rabbanon. Maybe they don't know what they're talking about. And they figure, okay, just be machmir, everything's good. But if I show you somebody's mekel, so then he must know what he's talking about. So it's labiach a koch of the Rebbe. There's no kayach in the rabbanon, as Rashi puts it elsewhere. Doesn't take any kayach to be machmir. Okay, now, the next case that we had was, I give you 30 days. So then if you give it within 30 days, I mean, really? I really need to be told that if you said 30 days, so then you have to give it to me in 30 days? I mean, Shita, of course, you said 30 days. No. I'll tell you, the point over here is understanding how serious the guy is. Somebody says, okay, you should give me the $200 in 30 days. I mean, it could be that it wasn't really Kepeda. Kepeda loved Kepeda. He's not like making this an absolute insistence. He's just saying, listen, honey babes, we're breaking up. Let's not let this drag on forever, you know? Let's get it done in the next 30 days. So you knew, so if she comes in 32 days, she's going to say, no, then the whole thing's off. I mean, it's like just the way that people talk, you know? Let's get this over with. Kamash Malan, that no, any type of stipulation is a stipulation. I'd say he doesn't really mean the stipulation. Okay, now we'll see that this actually is the wonderful transition to the whole story of the Maisa Betzidon, as you can begin seeing now, right? The question is, how precisely, if the guy says, give me back my coat, is the money for the coat the same as give me back the coat? Now that already gives us a smooth entry into the issue of the Maisa Betzidon. And that's why the Mishnah leaves it out. Remember, whenever we have a Chistura Mechasra, there's always sufficient information for the intelligent reader to understand how we're sliding away into this sugya. Okay, so that takes us directly to the Maisa Betzidon. So here's the Maisa. Says the Gemara, I understand, this is a non sequitur, isn't it? But
What did you say in the Mishnah that leads you to discuss this crazy story of the guy's coat and whether you can get away with paying for the coat? What does this have to do with anything? Well, Kisuri Mechasra, the Mishnah is missing this little piece. Malki Katani, put in the words yourself. If a man says to her, Almanachi Titanili, it's Talita, I want my coat back. And then of the it's Talita, the coat was lost. So then the Tanakama says, no, he said a coat, and he means a coat. If she can't return the coat, so then no divorce. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, she can pay him for the coat. The Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, I'll prove it to you. There was even a Maisa Betzidon, and there was a guy who did exactly that. He said, it was lost, and they went to court, and the Chachomim Paskin that she can pay him for the lost coat. So you see that I'm right. I've got an interesting question. How about if a guy said, okay, this is your get on condition you give me $200. And then he comes along and he says, you know what? I'm moichel. Now, the question is, I'm asking this according to Boshit. Ma, you can ask this according to Rabbanan and you can ask this according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Look, Tiboy le Rabban. Because the Rabbanan only said so far, I can't look on Rabbanan Hassam, Ella de lo achla gaba. The guy said, I want my coat. She doesn't have the coat. So Rabbanan say, well, she can't say I'm going to pay you for the coat. I want my coat. I don't want the money for the coat. So over there, I understand. He was never Michael, but over here he says, Beferish, okay, forget it. You don't have to pay me. So maybe in that case, even the Rabbanan are Maida. But she's not substituting something. The man said the condition no longer matters to me, and therefore we could just go ahead with the event. Or, I mean, does the condition have to be fulfilled? Now, I can ask the same question in the other direction. Oh, Dilma, even according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, where he said you could pay for the coat, okay, you can pay for the coat. But that's because the Kamafaisele Bedomi, she's giving him something. So he's saying the $200 for the coat is the equivalent of the coat. It's an equivalence issue. But to say, let's just forget about the Tanai. How can you just forget about the Tanai? You gave a get on condition. Was the condition fulfilled in any way? No. So fine. So you can't say, let's just forget about the condition is the equivalent to the fulfillment of a condition. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Avalagamre. No. Omar Le, so he answered him. Actually, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Asi, no way. It's not considered to be a get, not according to anybody. Esme, what about the case that we had back in the Dorim? A guy says to his friend, you are not allowed to have any anav from me with a neder, the koinam, if you don't give my son a whole bushel full of chitim and two barrels of wine for his wedding, you know, this is absolutely necessary, and I want you to give it. So Rabbi Meir Shita over there was, there's no way to get out of this neder unless he actually does that. Whereas the Chachomim say, nah, I've said Yecholat Yerus Nidrosh Lo'api Chacham. This guy can simply, for all intents and purposes, cancel this neder without even going to a Talmud Chacham. And he can say, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, it's fine. Areinu ki ilu itkabalti. It's as if I already got it from. Isn't that same thing as over here? That's mechila of the Tanai. I said you're going to be usher unless, and now I said forget about it. Okay, so how can you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that you, if you're not mekayim the Tanai, you can't just be mechil the Tanai? And over here it says areinu ki ilu itkabalti. Come on, man. It's not the same case at all. Weird comparison to that. The point is that when he made that tonight, what was he thinking? Suffer, honey. Suffer. You want to get, you're going to pay for it through the nose. So now he wants her to suffer, correct? So now, did she suffer? No. So how can he suddenly become good-hearted and say she gets to get even without suffering? He specifically wanted a result. But over here, I mean, it's not that he wants this specific thing. He needs this specific thing. And therefore, he wanted to be mechaven to make sure that he has what he needs. In the end, somebody else set the wine for the wedding. So he says, I don't need the wine. So, I mean, was there an issue? No, I want you specifically. No, you're just saying, I need this. Okay, so if I have it, I have it. So he wanted the extra, he needed that wine, and now he doesn't need that wine. As a matter of fact, we have a very interesting similar situation. Well, who gavad Amar La Rise, there was this guy who said to his sharecropper, listen, I want to make a deal with you, okay? The rest of the world, they only have the sharecroppers do 3 watering of the property over the season. And what the people take is 25% of the crops. Now, I want to make a deal with you. I want you to water 4 times, and I'm going to give you 1/3 of the crop. Okay, so they make this deal. Now it comes time for the 4th watering, and there's a beautiful thunderstorm. The field is watered perfectly. The guy comes to me and says, God is on my side. Boy, do I have a mazel. I'm not going to have to water the field. Yeah, right, says the guy, but I'm only giving you 25% because you didn't do the job. Okay, so you see how this is exactly equivalent, right? Because he was the harvacha, and now he doesn't need the harvacha. So now that's the question. Is it the same or not? So they go to court. The sof, atamitra, this thunderstorm comes around. Rabbi Yosef Tainas, well, the guy didn't do the job. Rabba says, well, he didn't need the job. And this guy's got a good mazel. So, okay. So in other words, it's this machlokas. Rabbi Yosef apparently is going according to the Rabbanan, who said, you can't give back the value of that itztaliti. You have to give me back the actual itztaliti. So now you're saying over here, you basically have to give me the watering. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to give me back the thunderstorm instead of the watering. That's like trying to give me the $200 instead of my coat. I want my coat. Okay, so if you hold up, that's what it seems to be saying, Masha Inkain. If you're saying that it would be good enough, so then apparently what you're saying is that you can substitute the money for the coat. That's basically what you're saying. And that would be like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So it works out perfect. I gave you the thunderstorm. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Hold on. If that's true, then we're in big trouble, okay? Because if you take a look at the way we pask in the halacha, how do we pask in halacha? We have a general rule. The general rule is the halacha, wherever we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yosef and Rabba, which we have over here, then the halacha is always like Rab. But whenever we have a halacha like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and you say, Rab is going like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that's what you're trying to say, right? The halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, so it sounds good, except for one problem. There are 3 cases where the halacha is not like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and one of them is this case of Sidon. That's one of the 3 cases we don't pask like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So how do we pask in like Rabba and like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel at the same time if it would be a contradiction? Because Hakayim lo nilchtek avasi de Rabba, and over here the halacha is ain halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, so you know what? It's not dependent. And the machlokas is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan. The truth is, it's going like the Rabbanan. Reb Yosef says, yeah, I'm just telling you what the Rabbanan say. Rabba says, no, I'm telling you, even according to Rabbanan, nobody would argue in this case. Because the only reason that we argued in the other case about the itztaliti is because over there, he wants to put her through hell, right? Yeah, he hates her. Okay, so it's not that he wants the money. I want her to find that coat. She's always losing my stuff. She can't find the coat. Let her suffer without a divorce. That's the point. So, okay, so over there, they're not ready to say that what was meant. But in this case, I mean, what do we want? The guy wants the water in his field. He got the water in his field. What are we arguing about over here? Even the Rabbanan would agree because it was only Laharvacha, and he didn't need the Harvacha in the end. Excellent. I guess we should let you go. Gosh. Okay, but we did have fun. I thought we'd have even more fun. But I hope we had fun. I'll see you all. Bezrat Hashem. Trevor, you're not giving up, right? Absolutely not. Okay. So we're all meeting over at Doc's house. What time, Doc, is the Malava Malka? You notice how he's got all the food set up always behind him. He always puts himself right there in front of the dining room so we can't see all the good stuff that he's got. But we're going to be there. We'll see you Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Thank you very much, everybody, for allowing me this course of learning with you, giving me so much pleasure. We'll see you in El Yeshua, see Yeftach v'lo Efchad, only Besurot Tovot, Kol Tov.